And we look forward to what God's going to do. Beautiful school year ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. God is real and he's just so good, you know. I'm thinking now about when I used to go to school way back in the 1900s. You know how that goes. Yeah. So I appreciate the Lord. Those days are gone. God is good. God is good. I want us to think about our lives right now, where we are in life, who we are right now in life, because God has a purpose for us. I know things may appear to be kind of hard sometimes, but as I said before, you know, Jesus, he told us that the road would be hard.
Yes.
He did. So it's not the easy way. It can be hard. But he did ensure us that's the right road.
Right.
Long as we on the right road, if it's hard or not, it's the right road to be on. And that's what really matters. Amen. It's not easy. But God has ensured us that he is with us. And he is. And the best is yet to come. Y'all all right? Y'all want to be in here today? Y'all sure y'all good? All right. There we go. Appreciate it. We're going to go into a series that the Lord has given to me. And this is different. You know, this is a little different. It's familiar, but it's different.
All right, now go ahead on.
I promise. So we're going to see the Lord bring us to a particular place from wherever we are to where we need to go. And it's time for us to think about who we are for real.
Amen.
It's time for us to look at ourselves for real. And this series is, as soon as you see the series title, everybody's going to think something. And I'll prove it because this is the title of the series.
All right.
Yeah, don't get caught. Now, don't be a smart aleck and say, I can do it, just don't get caught. Mm-mm. No. Because God's all-seeing eye means his eyes see all. Everything. And this message in particular is entitled, Who Will You Be at the End? Who will you be at the end? Y'all look at me like, what does that mean? Oh, you shall see. Revelations chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. You know, I love the book of Revelations. Back when I was a teenager, I think I read the book of Revelations like 3 times. It's fascinating, and you have to have the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, because there are so many images talking about this have this many heads and this flying thing and that. Like, what in the world? But we also have to realize that while he was on the Isle of Patmos, John on the Isle of Patmos, and he's seeing the visions of the end times, they have never seen an airplane. They had never seen helicopters and all this other stuff. So he described it the best way he could with what they had in the current day. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, verse 11, and this verse I'm 58. I've been preaching for 42 years. And this verse here is one that until this past week when I studied it, just from face value, I didn't really understand what it meant. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Unjust, unholy, unrighteous, sinful. If you're sinful, keep being sinful. That's why I couldn't understand. What are you talking about, Lord? And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. What? And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Amen. So I researched the Greek, Chaldee, the languages, to discover what this actually meant, because this is not an invitation to continuing right or to continuing wrong. It is a judicial declaration of who you are. Of who you are. There comes a point when Christ returns that a person's character is permanently fixed. Who will you be in the end? And that is what this is talking about. Some people have already decided this is who I am, this is how I'm going to be, and that's just it. They believe they're right, or they say, I know I'm wrong, but hey, everybody does something wrong, and that mindset is permanently fixed. If you're filthy, let him be filthy still. Unjust, then be unjust still. Holy, let it be holy, still, fixed. When there's no more opportunity for repentance, the righteous will remain righteous and the wicked will remain wicked. No more opportunities for repentance. No more opportunities to say, Father, will you forgive me? The righteous will remain righteous. The sinful will remain sinful. Verse 12. And these are the words in red because these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said this, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. As his work shall be. Everybody will be given what they will be given because of their works. It's going to be easy for Jesus to judge us because our life living tells him how to judge us. Amen. It's just that simple. One word here, this adverb quickly. What does that mean? It means by surprise, suddenly. Yes. Behold, I'm coming by surprise. I'm coming suddenly. When he said I'm coming quickly, I'm like, well, it's been a whole lot of years that have passed. Over 2,000 years have passed since you left the earth and you still didn't come back yet. Quickly means no. It's going to be by surprise and it's going to be suddenly when I come. Yes. And it also means without delay. I won't be able to delay my coming. And I dug even further and found this. Quickly also means that it consistently expresses promptness, action that is not merely imminent, but it's urgent. I have to come back now. When Jesus comes back, He has to come back. I remember I was here. I was preaching. And that's when I would walk all the way back and forth, back and forth. And I was right over there. And I saw a vision. Heaven opened up to me while I was up preaching in a vision. And I saw God on his throne. And I saw Jesus sitting next to him. And I saw Jesus, as we know, the Bible says that he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. I saw Jesus talking to his Father and just saying, give them time. They're going to get it right. He was just praying, just interceding, interceding. And then I saw God put his hand up and say, enough. Go and get my children. And then I heard the Holy Spirit with a question. And I asked the congregation, where will you be when the intercession stops? When Jesus stops, is commanded to no longer intercede. Where will you be? And again, the question of today's message, who will you be in the end? Yeah. Who? When that trumpet sounds, it's too late to say, oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me. It's too late at that point. Who will you be in the end? So when Jesus comes back, it's going to be urgent and decisive. Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. He told us. He said, only the Father knows. It's the Father's decision. We are the bride of Christ. He is the husbandman, which is the Bible's word for groom. And he's coming to get his bride.
Amen.
In the Bible days, the groom nor the bride knew when the wedding was going to be. They didn't know when the wedding was going to be. Only one person knew when the wedding was going to be. The Father. Only the Father knew. That's why Jesus said, I don't know. No man knows the day nor the hour. Not even me, the Son of Man. But the Father only knows when the wedding will take place. It is an event. It is a beautiful event.
Yes.
Something is going to happen where God is going to say, it's enough. It is enough. With all of the wrong going on in the world, with people and identity crises and wars and everything else that's happening in the world, it hasn't gotten bad enough for God to say, okay, this is it. Wow. What else has to happen before God says, enough, go and get my children?
Yes.
A verbal marker of divine insistence, underscoring moments when delay would compromise obedience. When God says go, Jesus can't say, wait. Let me just ask you to, no. Delay will compromise obedience. You say go, here I go. And that is it. Wow. Then I looked up reward because Jesus said, my reward will be with me. That is recompense to pay you back that appropriately compensates a particular decision or action, which is good or bad. So Jesus is coming back with his reward. Remember, the works, what we have done, will be rewarded. Everything that you've gone through because you are a Christian, because you're saved, you're going to get rewarded. God said, through Jesus, I'm going to pay you back. Everything I went through, I stayed with you. I didn't leave you. I kept fasting. I kept praying, reading, studying the word, attending Sunday services, having fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. I kept doing it even though my heart was hurt. Even though I didn't know what was going on, I stayed faithful. I'm going to pay you back.
Amen.
for everything you went through. Everything. I'm going to pay you back. My reward. And if you didn't do what I told you to do, I'm going to pay you back. Amen. It's the good and the bad.
Yes.
God isn't a mean God. If God is so loving, why would he throw us in hell? And God's like, I'm not throwing you in hell. If you go and rob somebody, why would you throw me in jail?
All right.
What did you do? So we do it to ourselves.
Yes, sir.
We do it to ourselves. God is like, I'm telling you what to do to not go to hell. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance and say, God, I'm not doing that anymore. Because he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish again, but everybody come to repent, which means to change your mind. I'm not doing this anymore because it's wrong. And in Matthew 25, starting at verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came.
Yeah.
Wow. This is the story of the 10 wise virgins and the 10 foolish virgins. The 10 wise virgins had plenty of oil. They needed the oil to light, for the light, so that they would see when the bridegroom came. And the 10 foolish, they said that we need some of your oil. And the 10 wise said, if we give you our oil, then we're not going to have enough for ourselves.
Amen.
That's a lesson even in the natural.
Yeah.
I know there are people who have needs, but don't give what you need to meet somebody else's need, because then you're going to go lacking. That's not the Bible way.
Amen.
The Bible teaches in the New Testament that we give in our tithes and our offerings. And then if we have sufficient, because the Bible actually says, God wants us to be so rich, so blessed, that we'll have enough for us and enough to give.
Yes.
Yes.
But when you don't have enough, you can't give when you don't have enough. Unless God says so, because he's about to perform a miracle for you. So they told the foolish virgins, go and buy some oil. Evidently they had like a late night Walmart or something. So go, because it was close to the time. So you go and buy some oil. And the Bible says here in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Please be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there.
Yes, Lord.
And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This speaks of when Jesus returns. Are you ready to go back with Jesus when he comes? When the bridegroom comes, are you ready? Or will you be somewhere else trying to get ready? Stay ready. And the Bible says in verse 11, and this is Jesus talking, he said, afterward came also the other virgins. After they had bought their oil, they come to the shut door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. It sounds very familiar. Verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yes.
What we just studied recently. This echoes when Jesus will say to those who were not obedient, I never acknowledged you as belonging to me. Because people are going to come and say, I prophesied in your name. I healed the sick in your name. But Jesus is going to say, but I don't know you. I've never acknowledged that you belong to me. Never. This is just an echo of what Jesus said. Oh, Lord, Lord, open up. I don't know you. Verse 13, Jesus telling them, watch. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know. You don't know when I'm coming back. Watch. Watch. How do we watch? That was my question when the Lord gave this to me last Monday. How do we watch? Jesus said to watch. How do we watch? Are we watching? Watch means to give strict attention to. Strict attention. I don't care if balloons and clowns are on this side and if a Ferris wheel and cotton candy is on this side. I am giving strict attention to what I need to be focused on. I'm not going to let anybody or anything distract me. He said, watch, watch. Be cautious and active. Take heed, lest, which is the word for unless, through remissness. You know, people say, I would be remiss to not do this. Remissness means I would be careless, negligent, and a failure to do my job or my duty. Watch, watch. And indolence, which is laziness, idleness, or the avoidance of work. Watch. You're avoiding work. And you have, why am I avoiding it? Because I don't want to use physical exertion, mental exertion. So I just rather be lazy for God.
Amen.
I'd rather just simply be lazy.
Teach it.
I'm not going to do anything. No, no, no. Watch. You better watch. Or lest or unless some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. That is what watch means. Watch. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep living the way you're supposed to live, because there's going to come a time the filthy will remain filthy. The holy will remain holy. The unjust will remain unjust. There are people right now who say, I'm good. I'm good. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm fine. All this, yeah, I know. Everybody got their thing, like I said earlier. All right. I'm going to let everybody have their thing, but I have to do what God has told me to do. I have to. Why? Because I only have one life. Like the soap opera, one life to live. That's all I got. That's it. All we have. I don't care what they say about cats. They only have one life. That is it. Once that's over, that's done. We have one life that God gave to us, and he expects us to live this life for him. Jesus is soon to come. We don't know the day nor the hour. And we should say, Lord, you know, this is the way I'm thinking. I'm just going to work. Whenever you come, you're going to come. And you're going to find me working.
Amen.
You're going to find me working. Yes. The prophet Samuel said, listen, Jesse, one of your sons, God told me to anoint them, just like the oil I had when I was anointing the children earlier for school. He said, one of your sons will be king. So they presented the ones. God said, because this one was muscular and tall. And God had to say to Samuel, no, this isn't the one. You're looking at how he looks. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I ponder the heart. It's not one. He went through the whole lot of his sons, and God refused all of them. And so the prophet Samuel said, do you have another son? Yeah, he's out in the field doing what? Working.
Yes.
Working. When Jesus comes, will he find you working? Will you be lazy and idle? I don't want to exert no energy, no physical energy, no mental energy. I just need to just, okay. David was working.
Yes.
God wants to see you working.
Amen.
For him. What are we doing for the Lord? What has God called you to do every single day for him? I've checked all my pockets. I've looked all in my house. I have not found a golden ticket for me to get to heaven. I just don't have one. This word applies to Shane Wall just as well as anybody else. I can be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have got to obey God. I have got to witness to people. I've got to give people what God has given me for them.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. Joshua, Amaya, and I, we were so blessed. I drove to Maryland, the D.C. area, to celebrate my aunt's 103rd birthday. We went and surprised her. And she's still just as sharp as she can. She was surprised. I put the video out later. And we went to a restaurant, Silver Diner. Oh, I wish they had a Silver Diner in Orangeburg. Lord, help my soul, Jesus. They had, let me stop because I'm going, let me get back to the sermon. So anyway, we went to the Silver Diner. And God gave me a word for the waiter. And somebody that you probably wouldn't really want to say anything to. You probably want to, you know, just leave that alone. Mm-mm. So I just went, told him from a little boy on up what the Lord gave me. Got his attention. Went back the next day to eat because that Beyond Burger was wonderful. So good. And so that server, I went to minister to him or witness to him. He's already saved. So I said, I tell you what, the guy that was here, and I said his name, I said, help me out with him, please. He said, I got you. I know what you mean. I got you. I said, thank you. Thank you. I, Shane Wall, I still have to work. I have to witness. I have to do what the Bible says to do, I have to do it. And I get to do it. I love obeying God. It's not easy, but Jesus never said it. It wasn't easy for Jesus to obey God, his own father. Jesus went in turning over tables and everything. Told his father, listen, if it be your will, could I not be crucified? It's just not easy, but it's the right road. So, our life work assignment, ask, say, Holy Spirit, Help me to seriously and honestly examine my current relationship with God. Also, help me repair where my side of the relationship is broken. And also help me to never fall back into selfishness again. Ever again. Because that's what happens, is selfishness. Every sin is about self. Every sin you can name or think of that you've ever done, it's always about self. Always. That is what sin is. It's something that pleases self. Righteousness is what pleases God. So Holy Spirit, if you help me with those, then I can and will effectively help others to mend, to repair, to restore, and strengthen their relationship with God. Say that to him. Say that to him. When you get somewhere, talk to him about, he will answer that prayer. Every time I give you something that is a life work assignment to ask the Holy Spirit, trust me, I know he will hear that. You will receive a response. If you don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit sometime, pray these prayers. Promise you. And the expected behavior, James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, you go away from the truth, and one convert him, brings him back to Jesus. Verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. A multitude. If you see somebody that leaves God and you go and you bring them back, you just save them from eternal death, from going to hell and burning in the lake of fire. You just save that one because you brought them back. You save them. And all of that sinning they did, it's all covered. You covered a multitude of sin. Multitude. What does it mean to save somebody? Save. To deliver from the punitive wrath of God at the judgment of the last day. Punitive is punishment. It's your punishment for what you did. You saved from death. And death metaphorically is the loss of that life which alone is worthy of the name. In other words, the misery of soul arising from sin, which begins on earth. This is the part that shook me a little bit. Death begins on earth, but it lasts and increases the death of the body. This is after. After you pass through death, it increases the misery. Increases. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody say, well, we all must die. No, this is the eternal death of the one who died not being saved. And that's what that is. And if you convert somebody, you will hide a multitude of sin. Hide means to procure or obtain a pardon of them, those sins, from God. You obtain a pardon from God, where God says, I won't punish you because you came back to Jesus.
Amen.
And you came back to me. I will not punish you. Don't get caught not working. Don't get caught not doing what God wants you to do. Do not get caught. God has us for a purpose, doing what we're doing. It's not easy. I know God is like, I know it's not easy. but I need you to do it. I can't do it. Jesus can't do it. We're up here doing what we're supposed to do. You're there doing what I want you to do. Don't get caught. When I was growing up, old folks in church used to say to us, don't let him catch you with your work undone.
Yes.
Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Don't get caught. Who will you be in the end? Who? Think about it. Who will you be? Father, we come before you now by Jesus Christ. We thank you for such a sobering message. Thank you for a message of introspection where we would look at ourselves, look at our own lives. This is not a message where we pass the blame on anyone. This is not a message where we take from this message and try to put it in someone else's face. No, it's like trying to put a mirror that's facing us into someone else's face when it's showing who we are. Thank you for this message. And Father, I'm appreciative personally for this message because we get a chance to get it right. When the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, it's too late to say, will you forgive us? So we have a chance to get it right now. So Father, thank you so much for this message. As I said earlier, this is a very familiar message that Jesus is coming back and that he doesn't know, but Father, only you know when he's returning. And you wanted me to preach this message for a reason. And we know Jesus said, I don't know the day nor the hour, but I can tell you the season. I'm going to tell you what's going to be happening during that time. And sure enough, Father, these things are happening right now, right this very moment. Our president just did another ceasefire. They have done this before. They'll do a ceasefire because an agreement was reached between countries, and then somebody just goes and does their own thing, breaks contract. Father, these times are dark. These times are uncertain. You, as the gospel group, the Winans, says, you are the only thing right left in a wrong world. You're the only thing right that's left in this wrong world. Only what we do for Christ will last. It's not what we do for ourselves, not what we do for our families, because this earth is going to pass away. Only your word will stand. Lord, let us only be found in your word. That's why you give us these type of messages. I haven't preached a message like this, and I don't even remember. But Father, this is what you're saying to us now. You told me just a few years ago to prepare your people, to prepare the people for the greatest event ever that's coming, the return of Christ. Hallelujah. And this is a part of that preparation. I love delivering the mail, delivering your message, and it's up to all of us, even me, the mailman, it's up to us to obey what you say in the message. So, Father, thank you so much for what you've said, what you've done. And we humble ourselves to you. And we repent for not doing your will. And we're going to do what you say do. Because the rapture is coming. Where in 1/5 of a second, 20% of a second, those who are saved, we're going to vanish and be with you forever. That's what your word says. 2 Thessalonians. So thank you, Father, for giving us your word, telling us what we need to do so that we can go back with Jesus and be ready to go back when he comes. The very second that he comes, he will find us working. Even if we are asleep, we will be resting from the work that we've done. Amen. So, Father, we bless you and thank you and praise you. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, if you'll indulge me just for about maybe 3 more minutes, if you just bow your heads, because maybe there's someone here or someone listening and watching who's not saved and they want to give their life to Jesus, because they want to know who they will be in the end. That they will be somebody who will be saved, working for God, doing exactly what he wants them to do. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you say, I don't know where I would be if Jesus came back right now. I don't know. Then just simply pray this prayer, talking directly to God, because he's looking right at you right now as an individual. Just simply say, kind Father, I come before you now by Jesus Christ, who died for me and who you raised from the dead. Raise me now from the death of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to live through you. Thank you for forgiving me and saving me. My life belongs only to you now, and I'll be obedient to you. I'll do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, God.